I believe in taking calculated experiments, focusing on the two or three big rocks that's going to move you forward, make it real so you can prove it to yourself, and then go forward from there.
Unconventional Life, the show where I interview successful entrepreneurs, artists, creatives, and thought leaders on how they earn their living in non-traditional ways. We will explore how they took the path less traveled, what their revenue model looks like, and why they are prioritizing their passion over their paycheck. I'm your host, Joel Schroeder. Unconventional Life, welcome. This is your host, Joel Schroeder, tuning in today from Boulder, Colorado. Today's guest is joining me from San Francisco, California. I have got Destiny Berman in the house. Destiny, are you ready to take us down the path less traveled?
I am. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, really excited to have this woman on the show. She is a modern marketer, seven-figure launch strategist for experts and educators, and she is just a business boss, really about how to scale your life's work by launching, you know, your dream online program in school. And I know you've launched over 75 programs. You've done over $16.5 million in revenue. And you know, you began, you know, with 15 years of marketing experience in Silicon Valley, working with clients like Twitter, HP, Microsoft. And then, you know, really in 2014, you made this shift to step into your calling in a deeper way and to really help, you know, all these different people multiply their income through online courses. And so Unconventional Lifers, if you've been looking to get into the online course world or really learn, you know, how to, you know, exponentially grow your marketing strategy, you know, Destiny, we're going to dive into all that. We've also got an epic giveaway at the end of the episode that is going to support that as well. So Destiny, welcome to the show. Fill in any gaps that I might have left out and give us a glimpse into your personal life.
You know, you've done a great job in a matter of like, what, 2 minutes telling my professional path. I'm like, wow, that's totally to the point. In terms of personal life, I have a son, Jacob, who's 4 years old. My husband and Jacob, we all live in San Francisco. We've both been in like tech for a long time. My husband actually also runs digital marketing at Adobe. So we've kind of been in like that tech digital marketing scene. And it's been, you know, it's been good, right? So we have the whole personal life going. We've also been immersed in personal growth and spiritual growth, very much a San Francisco, Northern California culture. And it's been really nice to be able to integrate all of that in our day-to-day work and personal.
Yeah, I love that. And I definitely want to dive into that integration a little bit more. And, you know, my first question for you is, you know, all of this, like 75 launches, 16.5 million in 5 years. So that's not very much time. And I, you know, get curious, like, how did that happen? And even when you look at that, sometimes I know when people like reflect things that I've done, I'm like, who was that that did that? Was that me? Did I have my eyes closed? Was I there for that? And I don't know how you relate to it in your own life. But just curious, like a little bit of, you know, a bird's eye view of what the last 5 years has been and what, you know, ultimately you feel like you've done to really allow that kind of growth to become possible, you know, in your professional life.
Love that question. Well, one, I feel like just like anything unknown, it wasn't exactly what I set out to be. So, you know, when I had left my previous life, I didn't know I was going to go straight into digital course launches. And I did take some time off to reflect and to kind of figure out what my next move was. I did see the opportunity in the online course space, you know, 5-6 years ago. And I also saw that a lot of wellness practitioners, yoga teachers, a lot of healers were underserved in this market, meaning they, you know, they were afraid of going online. They were afraid of technology. They didn't really understand digital marketing. And I think that one of the things that has really served me well was going so specific in a niche, into a niche that I also was really passionate about. I did my 200-hour yoga training, and you know, I've been immersed in so many different types of transformational programs the last 15 years or so. And so because I believed in this market and there was huge opportunity, that just allowed me to create really big results with and for my clients. And because of that, they just kept referring me. And I didn't, you know, I didn't really do any marketing for my own services the first 2 years. Like it was just all referral. I brought in all my professional experience and we were able to run with it. But it was just so exciting how quickly you can get to results and then how quickly that can grow.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I know there's a lot of people obviously that can do digital marketing that can create these launch plans, but, you know, I feel like we're actually just talking on Conventional Lifers in the beginning. And I'm like, you know, do you know Deb Silverman? And she's been a guest on the show before. And we do actually know some people from past years, which I love how small the world is. But I even remember hearing them echo, you know, and even another mutual friend, Sarah Nelson, you know, she's like, Destiny is the real deal. Like she's really cracked something in a way that others haven't. And what do you think is the secret to your approach to doing launch strategy? And what do you feel, you know, most people or some people often miss, you know, when they create these courses or they go to actually launch?
So a couple of things. One, you know, I wish I could say that my approach was no fail. And that is, you know, that isn't the case. And the truth is we don't try for not failing. What we do go for is taking calculated experiments. And I think that that really works in terms of, look, let's get honest about where you're really at. Like, what is the size of your audience? Are you building this from scratch? Do you already have an established audience? And then you move into the next pillar, which is focus on, you know, this offer that I want to put out. Is it something that I'm genuinely interested in putting out? Or is it because people are just telling me it's a good idea? And is it meeting a need in the market with the audience group that I want to serve? And then finally, I like to keep things simple. And it's interesting because with a launch, even if you try to keep it simple, there's still dozens of steps that go with it. But that's a simple launch. And can you imagine if you weren't trying to, you know, if you weren't trying to focus on those two or three big rocks in each phase at a time, and you're trying to do 10 different things, like now you're just left with hundreds of steps that need to get done. Nothing gets done. And then you're just paralyzed and overwhelmed, and then nothing moves forward. So I guess to answer your question, I believe in taking calculated experiments, focusing on the two or three big rocks that's going to move you forward, make it real so you can prove it to yourself, and then go forward from there.
Yeah, I love that. And I think calculated experiments, man, that is such a theme in my life in so many ways. I'm like, well, don't know how that's going to go. Let's throw that dart, but with intention and with, you know, data and informed discovery and things like that. And so, you know, let's say one of our listeners, and we're actually at Unconventional Life, we're about to launch this Unconventional Business Blueprint, which has been a, you know, a combination of the unconventional themes and how to apply that into your work and career. And, you know, let's say like someone is about to launch a program. Do you feel that the process starts before that they launch? And, you know, how can you advise some of our listeners that are like, okay, Destiny, I've been doing my thing. Like I got my course, I've got my videos, like I'm ready to get it out there. Like now what do I do? What are the first, you know, few steps or some of the things that you're like, okay, here's what you got to get in order.
Unconventional Lifers, are you ready to take your life and business to the next level? Come join us in Patagonia this December for a total solar eclipse. We have rented out a private piece of land overlooking the river, overlooking the volcanoes, with different hot springs, stages, and various other things for a 5-day business and life accelerator. If you are ready to make 2020 and 2021 the year that you said yes to yourself, head over to entrepreneurship.voyage/Patagonia to get all the details. Hope to see you there.
So I'm going to address this question with the biggest myths or the biggest mistakes that I see business owners make, because, you know, first and foremost is that people believe the launch is when you open for enrollment, whether it's a short period or a long period. And so they're doing all this work with getting the product ready to go, but then what? They think that's the entire launch. And really what informs how well a launch performs and the results is really in that pre-launch, which is about 70 to 80% of the heavy lifting. So that's really in the 2 to 3 months leading up to your enrollment period, depending on what you're doing. That is really key. Like, are you building up your audience? Are you engaging? Are you nurturing and warming them up? And, you know, to your point around the first couple of things to do is one, to really be mapping out a launch period that allows you the time and the space to do so. Now, if you have to compress your time, you know, sometimes that's just what it is, but you really want to have enough time where you're warming and engaging people. Now, on the flip side to that is, you know, really what I call the traffic versus content. It's so common to spend so much time on the program, the product, the content itself. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. We definitely don't want to put out a half-baked product. But if you're not thinking about traffic, again, coming back to the size of your email list, the size of your social audience that you're launching to, and also like, how are you getting people to your pre-launch and to your sales page. Like, how are you getting people there? You're not going to win even if you have the best product in your vertical, in your category. And that's just, you know, unfortunately, something that we just forget about.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's such a good point. Like you said, you know, 70 to 80%, you know, of the heavy lifting before the cart opens. And I've definitely in my own experience seen that, you know, over the years here at Unconventional Life. And, you know, I know you, you know, Unconventional Life has got an awesome giveaway too that Destiny is going to have after the rapid fire round a little bit later in the show that we'll talk about. But I know you, you know, often specialize in a 90-day strategy. Does that feel like a good time frame? And I know it's not a one size fits all, but sometimes you just get, you know, a lot of our listeners that are like, there's everyone and says so many different things and like, how do I sort through what's right for me? And, you know, how do I do this? And one, you know, go hire her or, you know, check out some of her great free trainings. But what do you recommend with that?
Yes. So I like 90 days for a couple of reasons. One, it gives you enough time to get your head wrapped around this, because believe it or not, you know, it's not just the execution and the carrying out of the task. It's also that internal, am I good enough? What's going to happen if I fail? And just even having your mind and your emotions integrate in this process. And it's also why I call this, you know, very much your first launch, a birthing experience, where you're truly initiating yourself. So 90 days is good because it gives you time to integrate. It gives you time to warm up your audience for about 2 months before you open enrollment. With that said, I've had, you know, many clients who are able to successfully launch in 60 days because they were already, let's say, internally prepared, and they were ready to go head directly into the pre-launch and then open enrollment. So I would say 60 to 90 days is a sweet spot, because if you wait too long, you're going to run out of energy and focus. And if you do it too quickly, well, sending an email blast to your sales page just isn't going to work. So to answer your question, 90 days is great, and 60 days is also doable.
Yeah, got it. And, you know, in terms of, you know, using paid traffic or organic traffic, do you recommend that people, you know, use both of those, or especially if maybe they're launching a course, you know, they've launched courses in the past, but maybe it's a new course for their audience for the first time?
So there are pros and cons to each. And ideally, you are utilizing both, but not everyone has the luxury of having built out their organic traffic. And so they just haven't been building up audience. I mean, when I had my first launch, because I was doing consulting work, I didn't have an audience. So for those of you who haven't already built up an organic audience, you'll have to go the paid route. Paid is great because you can get from 0 to 1,000 leads in a matter of weeks, if not a month. And it does work quickly. And it's also predictable in the sense that if you spend and you optimize, you'll build up the emails. The downside of paid traffic is that, you know, because it's happening so quickly, the people who are coming onto your list haven't been, you know, they haven't been in a relationship with you. So it just takes longer to warm up new traffic, new people to you coming from paid sources. Organic is nice because maybe they've, you know, they've watched you speak, they've gone to your event, you know, they, you know, in the old days of having, you know, retreats and workshops and whatnot, they have a deeper relationship with you. They've been following you for longer. And so you have time on your side, and that strengthens it. It's just not as predictable and it's not as scalable. So ideally you have both. If you don't have organic on your side, you'll want to dive into paid right away. And if you are lucky enough that you've been building up your organic traffic, if you augment it and strengthen it with paid, you're going to win.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, last question on this, and then I want to switch gears a little bit, but, you know, in terms of paid traffic, do you advise that doing, you know, some type of ad to a webinar than to your course is a good funnel or template? And I'm sure you customize it based on whoever you work with, but what do you think is just one formula some of our listeners could consider?
My favorite strategy is layering in what I call a passive freebie with an active lead builder, meaning having a PDF format of a how-to, a resource, a mini ebook. That's your passive lead builder that you're building quietly behind the scenes heading up to your launch. And then what you do is you add in a live event. So a live webinar, a 5-day challenge for some of us who are launching virtual summits, that works really well. But if you layer in what I call that passive freebie plus the active event, I find that to be the most engaging because it's multifaceted. It adds another layer to the automated, you know, piece of it. And it does, you know, do really well in deepening that relationship regardless of what source they're coming from.
Yeah, I love that. So Destiny, I know you're also a really big supporter of female entrepreneurs and really, you know, how as female entrepreneurs, you know, women often put people first and it can also lead to healthier profits. And, you know, I'm curious if you can speak to that a little bit and what you've seen in regard to that with your clients and in your own journey as well.
So let's see, there's a lot I can say about this, but ultimately when it comes to, you know, being an entrepreneur, one, you know, I get asked often, well, you know, do you recommend, you know, is like working in corporate versus being an entrepreneur, like what works better? And my first response is not everyone should be an entrepreneur. Like you want to make sure that this is your path and you really want to make sure that it's your journey. And then from there, you know, my advice is, you know, we're in this interesting space, especially online, where you can literally create anything you want. And you can reach people from all over the world because everyone everywhere is literally online, consuming education, learning, you know, getting entertained, engaging. And so to follow what's in alignment for you, and that's going to take trust and that's going to take courage and that's going to take listening to, you know, what is it you really want. But we are in a very interesting time that you really can create what you want and have that be in alignment and have that like really pay off, you know, in like big ways.
Yeah, I love that. And I also know, you know, in terms of transitions, like as you said in the introduction, you know, you recently, you know, had a baby and also too with your husband and working with, you know, in his own business as well, that, you know, you made some changes in your business that actually doubled your business by doing that. And I'm curious if you could share, you know, some of the changes that you've made, talk about the created life and really being intentional with it. But ultimately, like how, you know, you still get to use adaptability to not only sustain, but to also grow.
So one, I had to give myself permission to do so, meaning I had to really let myself know, like, Destiny, I can really have it all, you know, and, you know, when I say that, not just meaning like having things in, you know, crazy space, but like, I really can be a great mom, a successful entrepreneur, and I can be a devoted, loving wife. So that's first. Then second, I had to learn how to delegate. And, you know, interestingly enough, I do have I've had to learn that I've had issues with giving up control and learning what to delegate and when. And so I had to get really clear on that and to really empower not only myself, but my team with that, especially as my team was building and growing. And then third, I had to learn how to set boundaries, you know, especially with working online. It's so easy to be on your phone late at night or be on the computer. And when I'm with my son, I have to turn off my phone. Like that's just, you know, what it is. And we have family time and we've got family periods over the weekend where we just have to be completely, you know, off tech. And that has really served us with being present and with really being connected with each other.
Yeah, I love that. I was going to ask you about that. I was like, well, if your husband's in marketing, I know for myself, I've always, you know, had partners that I created with or did business with or music or whatever it was. And sometimes it's like, we'll just be like lying in bed, like bantering, you know, about like funnels or strategies or whatever it is. And you have to be like, okay, enough. This is like, this is like when we shut that off. And so any advice you can give just on creating, you know, boundaries in your family and work-life balance, and maybe something that, you know, maybe was hard to learn at first, but something that you find's working well that, you know, some of our listeners might be able to benefit from.
So, you know, one, having schedules and structure has really helped me with boundaries. So, you know, I know that in the morning, you know, this is my time with my son before he goes to school. And so I had to be, even though I was afraid, oh, you know, what if something comes up and, you know, what if there was an emergency? And I was so afraid to just even shut down my phone and put my laptop in the other room. But I just had to get really clear, like this is a schedule, morning time is with my son before he goes to school. And then the evenings, you know, my husband and I are really clear on what is our time. And so to be able to say, this is so, even if we're tired and even if we're not feeling like the most romantic, you know, even if we're not in the most romantic of moods, to really give ourselves that space. So what I would say is, even if it feels non-spontaneous and not exciting, put it in your schedule and you want to honor that in your schedule and it will work for you.
Yeah, so, so good. So last question for you before we jump to the rapid fire round and then Unconventional Lifers, we will get into that awesome giveaway that I mentioned earlier in the show. You know, it's really around your own mindset and just kind of your approach towards life. You know, as you mentioned, you know, I think it was earlier, you said you've done a lot of personal growth stuff. And just as we've been talking, I'm like, all right, this woman, like, you know, it's like not even just running like a million-dollar business, but it's having a million-dollar mindset and doing the work and the intentionality, you know, even when you don't feel like it, even when it sucks, even when it's messy, even when it's not pretty, to still choose in the face what you're ultimately committed to anyways. And I imagine you've, you know, had to develop some tools. And I'm just curious, like, if we were a fly on the wall, you know, over the years, like in the versions of destiny to the woman that we are now talking to today, like, what are some of the things that we would have seen, and ultimately, you know, some of the, you know, turning point moments that you feel like really helped define and then ultimately shape the mentality and the perspective that you have? And I ask that from the place because I think sometimes when you're on the journey, it can feel really hard, and hindsight is 20/20 sometimes. And so I'm curious if you can offer anything insight into that.
Well, let's see. It's interesting because for me, the turning points of my life has always been, you know, partnered with a milestone. So like, for example, when I got married, you know, for the longest time, I wasn't sure that I wanted to get married. And that was a big turning point in my life. And then when I look at when I left, you know, when I left working in the corporate space, and that was a big turning point because I didn't know what I was stepping into. But each one of these times, and then also when I had Jacob, like I was, you know, I was going back and forth on, you know, on whether I was going to really commit to motherhood or not. And, you know, whether I could really hold, you know, building a big business and also, you know, being a mom. But ultimately what it comes down to is one, being willing to leap into the unknown and developing a trust with the unknown. I also have a daily meditation practice that has served me so well, and that it's something I wouldn't be able to function and be clear if I didn't have that. And then I would say the third piece is really, it's being committed to your growth. You know, so for me, there's no turning back. And ultimately, it comes down to no matter how hard it is, you know, maybe we've had a month where sales didn't reach the levels that we wanted, or, you know, we opened a room and a launch and it wasn't as strong as we thought. But regardless of that, it's like we always have to keep moving forward, and we always have to continue to grow and to evolve. And I believe that, especially as entrepreneurs, if we keep moving forward and we pay attention, we will be served by that. And it's ultimately, it will come together and it will work out. It may not be exactly the way we thought it would, but, you know, every year my business has grown, like, you know, thankfully, knocking on wood here. But it's been interesting, and it's been an emotional roller coaster. But if we keep moving forward and paying attention and staying connected, it will all come together, you know, in a really good way.
Yeah, so good. And, you know, I know too, like, even, you know, to expand on that, you know, you've come from such an interesting background, you know, with your family migrating to the US, moving into a one bedroom apartment in downtown LA, eating Twinkies for dinner, like from that, you know, upbringing, I think to then consciously choose and develop the mentality really takes some intention, and it really takes some commitment. And, you know, for those that I think might not be in the best circumstance or have come from circumstance that maybe wasn't optimal, or maybe circumstance they didn't choose and they found themselves in circumstance, you know, is there anything in terms of the meditation or even just in how you practice gratitude or whatever it might be, you know, just to allow what you can control and allow what you can't, but ultimately to continue to use like fuel, like how you have when you are creating your path?
Well, to be fair, I am a 3 on the Enneagram, and so I do love achievement and I do love results. But ultimately, regardless of what circumstances you come from, I do believe that you still get to articulate and you still get to define what is it you want for you. And we're all going to want different things, whether it be material results or having the kind of relationships that we crave. And, you know, there is a coming back to being worthy and being connected with our worthiness that allows us to create the best versions of ourselves. And that's going to look very different. Now, it doesn't mean, you know, rose-colored glasses. Oh, you know, I started here and it means that I can get there overnight per se. But it does mean that we all have the right to value and want what we want. And we all have the worthiness that really gives us the grace and the power to have exactly what we want. And I feel like coming from that place, which is what I've always been able to hold on to, because achievements, results, grades, money, income, and whatnot, at the end of the day, you know, they come and go, they move and they shift. But being connected to our state and to our source and to our inner worthiness is what allows us to keep going no matter what things look like. And then from there is how things really come together. I don't know if that answers your question, but that's always stayed with me.
It totally does. Well, well said. Destiny Berman, everyone. Destiny, let's jump into the rapid fire round and then Unconventional Lifers. We'll talk about that giveaway shortly after that. So I've got a series of lightning questions coming at you. Are you ready?
Sure.
All right. I know, the achiever, right? Good, then you're going through. So question number one, fill in the blank. If you really knew me, you would know what?
I love cheesy, corny, romantic comedies. I binge on like Hallmark romance movies.
Love that. Next question. What is one food or indulgence that you enjoy giving yourself that maybe some people might be surprised to know about you?
I love dessert. And I love all kinds of dessert. I try to not have, you know, something sweet every day, but you know, whenever we go out to dinner or, you know, when that was the case, no matter what, I would always have room for dessert.
So good. Next question. What is one practice that you do regularly that you feel like really keeps you fresh and keeps you resourced?
Yeah, I would say that's my meditation practice. Sometimes it's only 5 minutes and sometimes it's 30 minutes, but having my daily meditation practice every day keeps me steady, keeps me clear. And it's really just been the most, like one of the most empowering structures in my life.
Yeah. So good. Last question. What does living the unconventional life mean to you?
For me, it means really owning who we want to be and having the courage to create something. So instead of like, why, it's more about why not. And even if someone's telling you, oh, you know, you can't launch a program at that price point, or this hasn't traditionally been a money-making industry, or it just feels really uncomfortable to, you know, be out of your skin doing things differently. You know, I think that that's when you want to do things differently, not just to be a rebel for a rebel's cause, but really to have the courage and the permission to just truly be who you are and to know that you can really go for it. And that things don't have to look a certain way just because millions of other people have done it that way.
Yeah, so, so good. Well said. Destiny, tell us about the giveaway that you've got for one of our listeners.
So I've got so many digital courses that I've created in the last couple of years. And one of my favorite ones is what we call the course creation training. And we created this because one of the most common questions was, well, how can I really develop my course? You know, what kinds of technology will it have to be expensive? And so we were getting all these tech questions. We were getting all these questions around how to map out your course content. And we boiled this down into a training that's going to show you how to map out your curriculum and how to even record your course in a matter of one day. And this is using very accessible software. It's following a super streamlined format, you know, starting out with the outline, giving you all the tools you need. And then also, you know, on the other side to that, thinking, like really thinking about who your audience is and why they need this offer. So that's the free course I'm offering today. It's called the Course Creation Mini Training. It's one of my favorites, and we've had so many students benefit and really map out and create their digital offer from this.
Yeah, so, so good. Unconventional Lifers, you can head to unconventionallifeshow.com to click on the giveaway tab to enter to win that giveaway. And you literally have no excuses if you've been tuning into the show or you've been living your life and you're like, I know there's a course inside of me, like go get this training and also enter to win the giveaway to get access to that. Because I think, you know, now more than ever, we have more time. If I've realized one thing from COVID, it's been the ability to step back and to really assess and to have a little bit more space to do some of the creative things. So I think that's such a great offering. And Destiny, you know, for those that want to stay in touch, learn more about you, the work that you do, like you said, you've done so many different courses and a lot of resources, free trainings. What's the best place for people to follow along, to find out where you're at and to stay in touch?
So follow me on Instagram. I'm a Des Berman, and you know, I'm always on there and will respond to direct messages. So Des Berman for Instagram. And then if you go to my website, destinyberman.com/crystallize, I also have a free training on how to turn that vision of yours into a digital course reality. So that's also another great free resource that we have out there. And between those two places, you'll find me.
Amazing. We will throw those links on our show notes at unconventionallifeshow.com. You can go get more information about Destiny there. Destiny, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us, to, you know, work with us on this episode. It was so great to hear and pick your brain on so many different things. And so it was great having you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. This, you made it super fun and easy. So
yay. Well, we like to do that at the Unconventional Life. So listeners, thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll have more music.